Fantastic. Great to be here with you all on this beautiful early morning.
Yes.
It's a great time to have church, isn't it?
Yes.
Eyebrows up?
We remember.
This is a real test this morning to see if you heard anything last night. If you can arrive at a meeting this hour of the morning with your eyebrows up, you're doing okay. So, hey, it's great. Thank you so much for having me. I fly back to Auckland City very shortly. And but let's inspire what God's done here a little more today, eh?
Yes.
You're going to have a great day. I'm going to give one of these away to someone else who led someone to Christ in the last month. Where are you? Last month. Wasn't you I gave it to last night, was it? Come on out here, man. This is called Living Tomorrow Today. One of the saddest things in life is that most people always talking about tomorrow is going to be, it'll happen tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to have a word of knowledge over somebody. Tomorrow I'm going to activate faith in my life. Tomorrow, whatever, and I reckon let's make it today.
Amen.
I want to give that to you.
Salvation's in the prison.
Come over here then. I want to pray for you. Because you need more souls. More souls. More souls is what we believe for right now, okay? Seven's fantastic, but let's believe for more.
7 out of 15. So
there we go. Yeah. Let's believe for the 15.
Amen.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, right now, stretch your hand toward him. Evangelistic anointing all over you. And Owen, in Jesus' name right now, we just release souls into the kingdom through your heart in Jesus' name. Now, God, soak him in the anointing of the Holy Ghost for souls, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let that be a blessing in your life. That's a great message. You never know what could happen to you when you listen to that message. Tomorrow, today, I actually preached that message in our own church. And a guy who's 62 years old got so inspired by it. He had always said, one day I'll get a boat. And he went out and brought a 40-foot fishing boat. And now we all go fishing on it. And it's called Tomorrow, Today. And I tell you, sometimes we just need to launch ourselves into tomorrow. We live far too much time thinking about tomorrow, and there's nothing worse than dying with your treasure still in you. The richest place on earth, they say, is a cemetery because it's full of unused potential. I want to go out totally drained, not an ounce of energy left, giving it all to the Jesus I serve. Let's get excited about that. Father, I pray this morning that the word I bring would inspire men and women, Lord, to live beyond today, to fulfill destiny, and live a great life for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to title what I'm talking about this morning just simply, There's More. Well, we had a fair bit last night, but there's more today, all right? And I know Rod's going to bring something awesome to you guys this afternoon and tomorrow. So there's always more. God never runs out of resources. And so there's more. If you're still believing for your miracle, can I say this? There's more. One of the probably saddest things about miracles, I think we have a kind of a Hollywood mentality. And can I just say this morning? Miracles aren't made in Hollywood. I don't care how many movies you've seen or how much God Tube you've watched, miracles are not made in Hollywood. Okay? They are messy, and sometimes you just got to press through a little bit more. One woman for 12 long years sought her miracle. For 12 years. Finally, she got that miracle when she pressed through and touched Jesus' garment. The secret is, or sorry, the amazing thing, the miracle to me is not that she got healed that day, but for 12 years she didn't give up.
Amen.
And I find too many people give up on their miracle. I was prepared to believe for my miracle for the rest of my life if that's what it took. But we need to hold on for what God... When Jesus, you know, miracles happen around Jesus. Some of them happen instantaneously. Some took a little longer. Some took, you know, the fig tree, Jesus speaks to the fig tree. They come back about 12 hours later and the thing's dead. It was a 12-hour process. When Jesus healed the blind man, he led him out of town. He laid hands and spit on his eyes, which would get most of us would have such an offensive attitude right there. We'd never get a miracle. But he spit on his eyes and prayed for him. And then all he could just see a little bit. It was a process. I believe a lot of miracles are process. We want it now because we live in a kind of microwave age. But can I say this? Let's keep on believing. Because there's more where what you got came from. And I think, you know, you read the story of Lazarus. And Lazarus got sick. And they sent a text to Jesus saying, "Hey, he whom you love is sick." And Jesus is down in Galilee, gets the text, and most of us would kind of jump in the car and we're there. But Jesus stays two more days in a cafe in Galilee. The cafe must have been incredibly good or something, I don't know, but he just stayed there, drinking coffee, talking to his mates, while Lazarus literally died. Now, the thing, I've sought God about that one because this was he whom you love. If God loves you and he doesn't turn up instantaneously, sometimes we think we've done something wrong. Sometimes we start to blame ourselves. We think, well, maybe I don't deserve this. Maybe there's hidden sin in my life. Maybe there's some kind of junk going on. Maybe there's something I haven't dealt with in the past. That's called condemnation from the enemy. Can I say today that he who loves you is on his way with your restoration? And I just wanted to say that this morning. We've prayed for lots of people. Many miracles don't happen on the spot. Lots of them happen as you go. As the, you know, Jesus said to the lepers, go to the temple and tell what's happened. And as they went, they got totally healed. So I believe most stuff happens as you go. And so I want to encourage you in that. If you're believing for a miracle this morning, there's miracle power in here. I'm totally convinced of that. All over this meeting, you know, the power of God's been in every meeting we've been in, Rod. And you get to know that. You get to sense that as you travel around and you experience God's love. I need some glasses if I'm ever going to read one or two of these verses to you today. But here we go, okay? So I'm going to title this, "There's More." And I want you to get ready for a miracle in your life because I believe there are miracles here. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, "Not that we have already attained or that this is already reached our goal, but we press on to take hold of that which for which Jesus Christ took hold of for us." So it's a journey. We press on. Why I wanted to call this "There's More" today, mostly because that's what I heard last night when I was getting ready for this. And but can I say this to you right now? There's a whole lot more where what come from here and what's happened in these meetings. There's a whole lot more. I'm always living. That's why my eyebrows are up. I'm living for the expectation that there's more tomorrow. And God's got a whole lot more. And as full gospel businessmen, we go back to our chapters at the end of this conference. And I want to say right now, there's more.
Yes.
And in every one of our lives, there's a whole lot more that God wants us to do. The secret is to activate what God's put on the inside of us. I think that's the biggest secret. And last night, I think we got through a few points. I think we got to number two, and that wasn't a lot, actually. But number two, if you remember rightly, was change your perspective. Change your perspective. And I honestly think we have a wrong perspective most of the time. I mean, faith. How we serve a God of the impossible that can turn companies around and bring finances in where there is no finance, you know. And last night I briefly shared about the miracle of facility we brought for a church. And that is a true miracle. I mean, we had, most people have got thousands in the bank. We had nothing in the bank and we bought a $7.8 million property. It's an impossibility. People come and tell me, it's impossible, Don. It's never going to work. We went and had a look at one building. It was about the size of this, maybe a little bit bigger than what we're in right here. This, and I mean this room, not the building. And it was a little bit bigger than this room. And I remember walking through it with some of my business people. And they're saying, "Don, we can do this. We can do this. You know, it's worth about, I think it was worth about $1.2 million or something. We can do this." Well, anybody could do that. And the Holy Spirit whispered in my ear, "You're on your own. You don't need me for this. And I was like, my God, I don't want to do it without you. So I went straight down the road and found one that was four times the size. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, I'd be with you on this sort of venture. Because you'd seriously need me. And that's what we did. And we had to believe for some unbelievable miracles. But God's a God of miracles. In your business, He's a God of miracles. He wants to partner with you. I believe half the time God wants to partner with someone who's got a little bit of vision. Someone who can see beyond today. Someone who's believing to put $1 million tithe in a year or something. Or give something to God that's going to be bigger than ever we gave before by stretching ourselves into the realm of the impossible. That's where God lives. Don't get too excited about that. Honestly, we need to dream a lot bigger. I reckon if God's on our side, let's dream big. I remember the night before when it looked like it was an absolute impossibility that we were going to get this, and the banks were closing off on the Friday. And I rung them up and I said, look here, rung my lawyer, I said, look, we really need Monday. Can we extend it all till Monday? Which stretches a few things, you know. I mean, everything was closing. We were losing our deposit that everybody had put in, a huge, huge buyer. And $450,000 was going to vanish into thin air. And we were going to lose, especially since I'd already gone in and bowled two walls in the place. And because I just believe it's going to happen. And I remember it's the Friday night, nothing was coming true. And the man that I'd been speaking to about giving us $1 million, and he was very hesitant. And that night, I'd rung him again on the Friday, and he'd said, look, I really feel you're harassing me, and da-da-da-da-da. He's just a nice religious guy. Anyway, I said, well, mate, I'm believing this is a God thing. Why don't you have another look at that vision I sent you? Why don't you have another look at it? And we prayed that night, got excited. And the next morning at 7 o'clock, funny enough, I had a vision that night of a man ringing me saying, I'll meet you in such and such a hotel. We'll walk across the room. And I saw him hand me this document for $1 million. And the next morning at 7 o'clock, he rang up. And it was the first time he had called me. I'd called him every other time, about 10 times in all. And he rang up that morning at 7 o'clock and said, listen, I'm meeting you in the hotel that I saw in my vision. He said, I'm meeting you there at 4 o'clock today, and I will be handing that over to you, because the Holy Spirit woke me up in the night and said, I've got to partner with you in this vision. I believe there are people out there that want to partner with us if we just launch into stuff that God wants to do. And I believe right now, that's a word for somebody here right now. The Holy Spirit wants to partner with you in something great in your life.
Praise God. Good.
Amen. Change your perspective. Change your perspective. It's the way we see things. Let's see it from God's perspective and not our perspective. I walked into an airport. I do quite a bit of traveling, as does Rod. Probably quite a few here do quite a bit of traveling. Airports are not my favorite place on earth. And neither are aeroplanes, to be honest with you. And they're uncomfortable. Travel's not as glorified as you think it might be. After you've traveled once or twice, you're over it. And I'd just as soon stay home, to be honest with you. But anyway, I happen to be, I've joined the Koru Club because you can get a little bit of preferential treatment and get on your plane a little easier and stuff. So I was in Australia a little while ago, and I walked into the Koru Club and came through, went into the lounge. And when I got into the lounge, which is only about, half the size of this place, and they'd cordoned off with this big rope, like three quarters of the room, and with a big red rope. And there was a few seats left, and I had to go and sit with someone about my own age, which sometimes scares me. I remember clearly, I hope it was nobody here, he was reading a newspaper and could barely distract himself because there were no seats left, so he had to sit with people. Mostly I like to sit by myself, if possible, because I had to sit by them, and I thought, well, this must be a God opportunity, so I sat with these people. And of course, if I ever get to be near anyone, you're going to hear about the God I know in some way. And so I tried to open up the conversation. First thing I said was, you guys heading to New Zealand? And because the next plane out was to New Zealand. And anyway, his response to me, paper came down, yeah, it's freezing down there. Anyway, so then I responded, Well, it's been nice and hot here in Australia. Well, in Queensland,
yes,
not where you live. Yes. And nice and hot here in Australia. He said, yeah, it's too hot here. And I kind of thought, you know, people have a weird perspective, don't they? You know, it's like we can just never be happy. Yeah. And anyway, he's complaining about that. And then I shared something and I tried to sort of share, you know, I think it's a miracle that I'm sitting beside you today. And she said, oh, I don't know about that. I'm feeling pretty sick today, actually. And I was just about to say, well, maybe I need to pray for you. And then some people walked in who were different to us. They were the people that the area was cordoned off for. And as they walked in, she says, leans over to me and kind of whispers, and I'm so disappointed they were about my age, because she whispered this, isn't it disgusting the way young people dress today? I instantly had a dislike for this woman. I had to deal with my attitude right there. Because I actually thought they looked pretty cool. And they walked in, and then he leans over and he said, it's disgusting the way these young people behave today. The tattoos, the piercings and the rings, and look at them, will you? That's what he said to me. And I then said, excuse me, I need a coffee. Really bad after sitting with you guys. In fact, maybe something a little stronger. And I left the table and went over to get, because I did not want to sit with these people. I don't. One of the things that is really bad is negativity. If we want to literally take advantage of what God's got for us, so we haven't reached our goal yet. If you think we're there, you already missed it. If you don't think there is more, let's read it again. This is what he said: not that I've already attained or have already reached my goal. And I don't think any of us have yet, or New Zealand would be, every business would be on fire for God. Like the marketplace would be full of people that are going for God. And he said this, I haven't reached my goal, but I press on. And here were these people. So I got up and I left that table and I went over to get myself a coffee. And as I was getting myself a coffee, one of the people who came and stood beside me, no doubt after a coffee as well. Maybe had met some of these people on the way in, I don't know. And anyway, so I said, would you like me to make you a coffee? You don't have to, because you help yourself there. But I said, I'll be your barista today, what would you like? Because I was at the machine. It's just all about your perspective. You know, you can look after yourself. Jesus consistently thought about others. And so I said, what would you like? She said, I'd like a flat white, please. I made a flat white. As I handed it to her, I said, that's a miracle coffee. And she was like, what do you mean? I said, well, 6 months ago, this arm wouldn't even work. It was totally paralyzed and God's healed my arm. So that's a miracle coffee I'm giving you today. It's a miracle I can hold the cup. It's an absolute, doctors told me this arm would never work. And as I handed it, and she said, that's amazing. How did that happen? And so I started sharing my story with her. And then she said, would you like to come over and, that's an amazing story. She said, come over and tell my group. And I was like, well, who's your group? And she said, you might have heard of Pink, who's probably, I think, the greatest rock star on the planet right now. I think if you watch Pink, the way she owns a stage and the way she performs on that stage, it's unbelievable. She's unbelievably talented. And I said, yeah, I have heard of Pink. And is he here somewhere? And she said, oh, she's somewhere in the airport. Anyway, so we're the Pink's group and singers and what have you. So she said, would you like to come over and tell your story? It's just amazing. We're all sitting here. So I went over and I get to sit in the nice cordoned off area. All those other pillocks are sitting crammed up together over there with their negative, small-minded perspective. But I've been released into something better. So I sit down and I share with them and I tell them about the miracle I've had and I tell them about the guy I serve. And we just had the most amazing, amazing discussion. And then next thing, this thing comes over the air, you know, Don McDonnell, where are you? Your plane's about to depart. But I knew it wouldn't go without them on board. And I said, look, I've got to go. And they said, why don't you just come on with us? And I said, no, they're calling me because these are VIPs. And I went to the door, and the guy at the door, I said to the security guy at the door, where would Pink be? She's somewhere around? And he says, are you kidding me? You've been talking to her for the last hour. So I went back and apologized and got all the, you know, all the paraphernalia, get all the signatures and stuff for the grandkids, and made my grandkids famous and all that. And then and a very cool moment, and got a photo with her and all that stuff. And then they said to me, why don't you just hop on the aeroplane with us? And so the bonus to that was that I got to travel back to New Zealand in business class sitting with the group from Pink. I reckon if we can just lift our perspective, we've got a God who can change the world. We shared, honestly, they talked to me about praying and praying over their group, prayed for their group. And I want to tell you, God is a lot bigger than we think. And we haven't reached half of it yet. We haven't begun yet to start doing it. Our perspective has got to change if we want to see the power of God in our lives. And I want to challenge you today. My third point, and we need to get on to that because we might finish today like we did last night, is you've got to change the way you speak, your confession. Your confession is huge. If you want to reach and attain great goals in your life, and I believe God's called us for that, and if we want to discover that there's more in our chapter, or in our, like, honestly, why do we talk so small about the things we do? You know, I sometimes hear people talk, oh, we're only this or we're only that. Let's talk about what can be, not what is. Let's talk about the God we serve, man. I believe he wants to transform our cities. He just needs one businessman who's fired up who can change the world. God doesn't need 10 of us. Just one will do. John Wesley was a man who got passionate about his generation and literally changed the planet as far as Christianity goes. Because he got fired up. God only needs one man. One Gideon. It might be a Gideon. God, I'm just a worm. Look out, God doesn't, the devil doesn't use you for bait. God, I'm a nothing. I'm a worm. I'm a nobody. God says, well, you'll do. Because when you and I partner together, anything's a possibility. I remember when I shifted to Australia, and we shifted to Australia, I took my whole family, 16 suitcases, 4 children, and off we went to Australia. We didn't know anybody. We just arrived in Melbourne one day, and we just landed at the airport, and I thought, what do we do now? It's how I like to go. I think the Bible speaks a bit about that. And we just arrived there, and then I rang up a guy that I'd met on a missions trip once in Tonga, because I knew he lived there. And I rang him up, and I said, what are you up to? And he said, actually, just sitting down to dinner with my wife. And I said, well, we're stranded at the airport. And we need a big vehicle. 16 suitcases, 4 children, and a wife. And so he came, picked us up, and there we were. We ended up going to Bible college there. And we ended up renting a house, and I needed employment. And I just arrived in Australia, I was doing Bible college, so I needed like a night shift. And the only thing I've known in my life is building. And I'd built many, I had a building company, and we used to build a few cabinets. And so I thought, what I'll do is that I'll go and apply for some cabinet making jobs that are outside of the hours. And I went and applied for this job, and it was like a night shift job building cabinets. And the guy was a Yugoslav, I discovered. I got down there for the interview, and that day I just wore a black shirt with a yellow stripe across it. And when I went for the interview, I'm not a cabinet maker, okay, but I was applying for a cabinet maker's position. And the first thing he said to me, can you do the job? Yes, I can. I reckon our confession determines most of the time what we can or can't do. Mark 11:23 says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, he shall have what he says. If we say the wrong stuff, we determine our destiny. And anyway, he said, can you do the job? And I said, you bet I can. Now, I've never been in a cabinet making factory in my life, okay? And then he said, I like your shirt. And he said, are you a Tigers supporter? Like, I've never been to Melbourne before, so I had no idea what the Tigers, I thought we might be in Africa all of a sudden. Where are we? Do you like Tigers? Yeah, I just said, yeah. And he said, well, I'm a Tigers supporter too. You've got the job. Tigers are an AFL team, which became my team, Richmond, exactly, which became my team too in the end. And I became a supporter of the Tigers as well because I had the right shirt on. then he said to me, he started talking, he's a Yugoslav, a Croat, and he's a Serb, and a Serb, and so I'm a Croat, okay, my mother is a Croat, and so we got talking, and he said, look, I'm from Yugoslavia, and da-da-da, and I said, well, my mother's a Croat. He said, you've definitely got the job. And so there's some right things that fit together if you're just positive about your life, if you've got your eyebrows up. He said, look, you can start tonight. I said, I've got no tools. I've got nothing. I didn't want to tell him I've never done this stuff before, but I've got no tools. And he said, doesn't matter. We've got all the tools here. Just start. And I came, and I remember coming in that night, and Pete was a big guy and very sharp businessman. And I remember walking in, and that night he was still there in his office doing some paperwork as I walked through. And as I walked through, I looked in the office, and here he was bent over his desk like this. And I'd just started Bible college, and they'd taught me at Bible college that Jesus can heal today. Be honest with you, I learned that at Full Gospel Businessman way before I ever went to Bible college. In fact, I probably learnt more here than... No, we won't.
No.
Okay. But I was walking past, and I saw him bent over his desk, and I thought, well, I didn't think, actually. It was like the Holy Spirit said to me, you need to go pray for him. I thought, are you kidding me? I'm lucky to have this job. I only got it because I had the right shirt on and the right mother. And so I'm not going to go and ruin it by praying for the guy now. Let's keep all that stuff out of it. Let's be lucky to have a job and get some money to pay the rent on this house we've just leased here in Melbourne, which was a lot more expensive than I thought. Anyway, I wanted to keep walking into the factory. He had told me to report to the foreman. But anyway, I felt compelled to go in, and I didn't want to disobey the Holy Spirit. So I went over, and it's pretty simple, really, and I want to challenge every person here. It's real simple to get a move of God in any business in the world. And I walked in, and I went up to him, and I said, look, I didn't tell you this today, but I'm a Bible college student, and they've been teaching me down there that God can heal. You look like you've got some sort of pain going on here. And he said, well, yes, I have. They tell me I've got an ulcerated stomach. And I said, well, would you like me to pray for you? Always hoping he'll say no. Would you like me to pray for you? And he said, that would be fantastic. And then I, you know, how do you do this stuff? Most of the time it's like there's no formula. There's no pattern. I think sometimes we think there's a technique. Just let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us, you know. And I think we need to be a lot more free in that area. And I said, well, last time I prayed for someone, we sat them down in the middle of a group of us and we all prayed for them. So I thought, well, let's try that. So I said, look, if you'd take a seat here, wouldn't mind, take a seat, and I'll just pray for you. And I'm feeling a little nervous. I've only just met the guy. I'm lucky to have the job. I'm meant to be in there working right now, and here I am praying for the boss. And so I laid hands on him, and I said, God, it's a total impossibility, and I don't feel an ounce of faith, and there's not a bit of the presence of God. In fact, there were pictures all over that room that would stop that. But God, if it's at all possible, if you could please possibly heal Pete. I didn't pray it like that, but that's what I was feeling. Yeah. So I just said, God, if you could possibly heal Pete, it would be fantastic, please. Lord, I release an anointing on him right now. Amen. And then I said, I'm going to work. And out I went. I didn't ask him, how you're feeling? Is anything happening? I just get out of there and get to work. And I went to work that night and introduced myself to the foreman and started work. The next night, I go down there and I report for work. And we're all in there, you know, the music's going. There were 8 guys working the night shift, and I was now one of them. And then the Pete is the owner of the company, and the back door, I remember I was working away, and next thing the music's going, and the door swings open, bangs against the wall, and there's Big Pete. He took up the whole door frame, and he's standing there looking out, and he says, hold it! And the entire factory comes to a halt. And then he says, we've got a priest working for us! And everyone in that room, including me, is like, where is he? We're wondering where he is. And then I realized that it's me he's talking about. Because what had happened, he said, that guy there, he said he just started working for us, but last night I had an ulcerated stomach and I've been sick and attending the doctor. And he said, last night I have not had 1 ounce of pain since and I've been totally healed. God's touched my life. And it was a total, complete, then he said, then it got so embarrassing. Then he said, there'll be no more swearing in this factory. And I was like, oh, no, Pete. They'll think I told you to say that. And then he said, those pictures, and like they all had their girlfriends pasted to the wall. And he said, I want those pictures down. And it was like a huge, you know, some of us, like, we want stuff like this to happen, and we get all religious about it. We pull people down. Just enjoy life and get your confession right and start to declare that where you turn up, God turns up.
That's good, yeah.
And he'll change the atmosphere. We're trying to stop people doing this and stop them doing that and condemning them because they got the wrong earrings in and the wrong color hair. Let's get over that and let's just know that we serve a big God.
Yeah.
It'll change our world, honestly, just if we just get it together in our spirit and start to confess, if God be for me, who can be against me? Greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. I mean, I think we sing it, but we don't really believe it. If we really believed it, we'd know that when we turn up, God turns up in the midst of that place. It got incredibly powerful. The next night, Pete brought his wife along. She said, what have you done to my husband? I've got a brand new husband. And she said, he's so different. I can't work out whatever happened to him, but he told me about you, and we'd like to invite you and your wife around for dinner tomorrow night.
Wow.
We went around to the house and led Pete and Melissa to Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And I want to tell you right now, if we want miracles in our lives, all we got to do is just have the right spirit. Just get your spirit bigger. Confess a few things over your life and change the world we live in. I went on to work there. I ended up becoming the foreman in that factory. Remember, I was doing Bible college. I became his foreman. I ran the entire company for him in the end. When I wanted to leave there and go do, which I'd gone there to be into ministry, okay? I didn't want to go there and carry on what I was doing building-wise. And I said, mate, I'm leaving. And he offered me a fortune to stay and run that company. I said, no, I'm going because I want to obey the call of God. And I think sometimes we get locked into where we are because we think it feels right to the flesh. But God wants us to obey his voice, not the voices that are around us. Are you learning anything from this stuff? Because I want to leave you with some good points here today that I believe, honestly, that can change your life. So let's change our confession and do something great with it. And Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say, I am strong. And we need to get that as a confession. Now, you know, most people, it's like, let the weak say, well, they hurt me in the last organization I was with. And that's how we sort of, and I meet so many people who are hurt. They got hurt here or they got hurt here. They got, you know, people let them down. I was walking down a road one day, and I was walking down a road and I was depressed, which is hard for you to believe. But I was depressed, and I come under that sometimes. And I was depressed because people had been saying things about me and I felt rejected and I felt hurt and I didn't like what they'd been saying. And I was walking down the road and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said to me, didn't I say in Mark 11:23, you'd have what you said, not what they said? And I was like, jeepers, I'll have what I say. I'm a mighty man of God, let's go. And I rose up on my confession and started living life. Too many times we listen to what others are saying instead of confessing it with our own mouth. I don't care what they're saying. Let's confess some stuff that we've got happening in our life. And I believe that's a word for somebody here this morning, that you need to confess over your life what you want to happen, not what they want to happen. And get over your hurts and get over your offenses and just get over yourself. Have you ever played rugby? I got hurt every game I played. But I still went back to practice the next week. Got my collarbone smashed. I got my shoulder put out. But I still went back and actually still loved the guys. My coach dislocated my shoulder. But I still loved them and turned up for practice the next week. Someone hurts us in our chapter, in our walk with God. And next thing we're like, we don't like them anymore. Like, hello? Let's get over ourselves. And let's go with God. Let's go with God. A few little hurts, honestly. Just get over it and get on with it. I know that's a hard point to take. Number four, the atmosphere we create will cause us to be people that change the world we live in. The atmosphere we create. And I think, honestly, we need to create greater atmospheres in our chapters and in our belief of what God's called us to do. Create the atmosphere. Change the atmosphere. Don't let it ever be a small-minded atmosphere. Don't let it ever be something that's little. And your attitude's got a lot to do with that. Your attitude. You know, my dad had an attitude adjuster. It was a piece of supplejack he'd got out of the bush. And I remember I'd come to the table with a bad attitude, you know. And I'd have a stink attitude, my head would be down. I'd be terrified to look up. And I'd look up and I'd catch the eyes of Dad. And my dad would just one look, and my attitude come right. And I think sometimes we need to allow God to adjust our attitude sometimes. And our attitude can be adjusted by these things. Who you hang out with. I love hanging out with positive people. That's why I've loved hanging out here. I've loved this. I love your board. I've loved hanging out with Rod here and just feeling the positive of his attitude. So your attitude's determined by who you hang out with. It said Caleb had a different spirit. I want to hang out with people who got a different spirit. And it's secondly, your ability to get over yourself. That'll change your attitude. Thirdly, it's your ability to praise God and get into worship and say, God, just set me free of all that junk I've been taking because I want to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And you won't operate in the gifts of the Spirit if you've got stink attitudes. It just won't happen. And then fourthly, our integrity or our core values, the virtue that we live by, our integrity will cause our attitude to be shifted into a diet. And we've got to live with ourselves. It's all very cool when I'm here. I can be like anybody you want me to be. But when I'm all by myself, that's when I've got to have the right attitude. Or the right integrity, should I say. Our integrity is something we take with us to the grave, and I want to take the right life with me. Easy to look good in a meeting like this, you know, got the right suit on and everything, and we look cool, but what's going on in our heart, our core values, what's going on there? And finally, our visions and dreams. If you've got a great vision and dream, it'll adjust your attitude and put you on fire for God. Miles Munro's book, I like what he writes. He writes about being successful and overcoming. He said, the poorest man in the world is a man without a dream. The most frustrated man in the world is a man with a dream that never becomes a reality. Your dream becomes a reality when you encounter God.
Right.
Now, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light that lights the earth. And yet, here's what question I want to ask. Why do we so often hide our light under the bed? And why are we so often without any saltiness about it? Lick the person next to you, see if they're salty. One of the most disappointing parts for me, you see, I think your attitude has a whole lot to do with the way you are. With the way you are has a lot to do with your attitude. And we had a guy in our church, and he was a different sort of a guy. He was a great guy. He was on fire for God and just an exciting guy. But he had this problem where you'd go to his place and he'd bring, you know, I love going to visit people. I love having people around. Always have a bowl of chips there and a bit of dip and stuff. And he'd bring out the bowl of chips. And you go to eat the chips, and I'm into it. Somebody brings out some chips, I'm into it. And I remember grabbing the first chip and putting it in my mouth, and it was the worst chip you've ever tasted in your life. It was soggy, wasn't crisp, it had no taste to it whatsoever. And it was like, yuck, what was that? And then I thought, must be the chip, you know, and I thought I'll go for another one. And I pulled another one out of the bowl, and I thought, it's kind of half soft, but give it a go anyway. And gave that a go. It was worse than the first one I had. And then I said to him, what's a go with these chips, man? And he said, oh, I like to lick them when they come out of the packet before they go in the bowl because I like the flavour. You know, I think a lot of us create a bad atmosphere wherever we are. Look, your atmosphere sets things up for the move of God. You better believe wherever Jesus turned up, there was a zing about the atmosphere. There was a vibrancy about being around him. People didn't want to hang around with Jesus because he was dull and boring and uninteresting and sour and lost his zing in life and no saltiness, no light that shined out. And we need to be people that have got a little bit of zing. And some of us have taken a bit of a licking. We've taken a bit of a hiding, whether it was in the business arena, whether it was in just the family environment. You might have been through divorce or hardship in your life or brokenness, but we've lost our soul. saltiness and we've lost our zing. And I believe today God wants to put that back on you and cause you to be the most tasty person in the crowd. Because God wants our light to shine and he wants us to be the salt of the world that makes the place come flavorable again. And I believe here today, I believe there are gifts all over this place. I believe there's an anointing all over this place. And I want to pray for you today that God would release the saltiness back into your life in Jesus' name. It's all over this place. I can feel it in the atmosphere and I'm excited about what God wants to do. All we've got to do is step into it. Sometimes our attitude determines how much of it we will have. You can have a stink attitude. Don't look at me and think I'm perfect because my wife calls me even a mongrel sometimes, okay? It's a horrible word, but just a bit of fair dinkum now. We need to be real and just being real with you. I have had bad attitudes, okay? Hard for you to believe that, looking at me, I know. But I remember once, for example, we were speaking for the full gospel and we flew into a certain town and I'd just arrived back from another place and we'd done a lot of flying and I'd been staying in some pretty nice hotels. And you've got to be real careful. You'll even get, you know, you start, if you're not careful, you even get up yourself a little bit.
Yeah, that's right.
And you start thinking you're cool and you start believing your own publicity and you can think you're as cool as you like. It means nothing if you haven't got an encounter relationship with the God who you serve. That's what it's all about. We can have the fanciest talk, the fanciest message, we can have the fanciest clothes, we can have everything together, but if you don't know God, if you don't know, Paul said, that I may know him. I want to know God so that the Spirit operates through me. I remember we arrived at this place and they said to us, you're not staying in a hotel. And I was like, are you flipping kidding me? I'd been flying all over the world. I hadn't even seen my wife, and finally I had her with me. And they said, no, you're going to stay with some people. And sometimes you just don't want to stay with people. I remember they carted us. I remember on the way, and we went like a mini miner. Had to hook the suitcase on behind the car. And it was like, I was annoyed from the second I got off the plane. I was like, oh, none of this is working. I was moaning and complaining. Julia was, you know, women have got this elbow sharpened. I think they know exactly what rib they came out of. That's where they came from. There's a slight gap there. And they just go, and it pierces all the vital organs and we're like total attention. And she said to me, you need to get over yourself, boy. Who do you think you are? Been traveling a few times now. That's why we need great people in our life. That's why your wife is probably the most important person in your ministry life. She is, literally. I mean, honestly, if you want to call her God, man, look after that girl you've got beside you. She's incredibly significant to when you stand in front of anything, and if your relationship's not right there, I reckon it discounts what we talk about. Hello? All you women should be cheering right there. Here's the deal. We arrive at the house finally, and I'm grumpy, you know. And I'm saying, I'm not even getting out of the car. We're wedged so tight in there, couldn't anyway. And suitcase sitting on me wouldn't fit anywhere else. And we would have had to hook it on behind otherwise. Anyway, I'm sitting there. And I said, I'm not even getting out of the car. She said, you need to get over here. You need a serious attitude adjustment. Get out of the car. Who do you think you are? Where's the God in your life right now? Anyway, finally I get out of the car. I'm grumpy. Yeah, she's already gone in the house with the driver. And I go in, and there's a guy standing at the door waiting to shake my hand. And I just went, walked past. Walked into the bedroom. The bedroom was so small, I remember it. I hadn't seen my wife for at least 4 weeks, and I was looking for a big bedroom where we can have a race. Just a little wee room, I would have been a catcher in 10 seconds. I was grumpy right then. Trip over the suitcase while you're on your way. I said, and I was just seriously grumpy. She said, get out of here and go and sort your attitude out and come back in. Are you a man of God or not? And I remember walking out of that room, feeling grumpy and depressed. And I walked out and I walked into the lounge room and I looked and there was a big painting of a beautiful young girl on the wall. I remember standing there looking at this picture, and next thing I was aware, someone was standing behind me, and it was the guy I'd gone to, the owner of the house, and he's standing behind me, and I said, oh, who would the girl be? He said, we are so honoured to have you in our house today. It's the anniversary of her death, and she was murdered just a few years ago. You better believe I had a serious, serious miracle happen in my life right there. I was like, who the hang do you think you are, Don? And God just humbled me. I had to repent before the Lord for my stink attitude. These days I'll go anywhere, stay anywhere, sleep anywhere at all, because we dared think that we're too big for God to use us in any circumstance. He began to tell me the miracle of his life, how he'd adopted the boy who murdered his own daughter as his own son. And just honestly humbled my heart. And I'll never forget that. Let me tell you right now, people are the most important commodity on earth. It's about God and it's about people. And we need to know that in our lives. I remember when I went to Bible college, one thing I did learn at Bible college, actually they had this test one day. And the test, and I remember the test, and I never was good at tests. I like multi-answer. Just tick any old box. And it was one of those. It was like a multi, like, just have a go. It was who's the most important person. The question was, who's the person who cleans the Bible college every night when we go home? And I wrote down, who cares? There were 127 of us at Bible College. I didn't even know the person's name anyway. And why would you even bother discovering the name of the cleaner? And I remember handing in my paper as I went out. My mate Andrew McGrath had the same answer because we sat together. Handed our paper and as we walked out, and I remember saying, question five, is there any points associated with that question? And I remember the dean saying to me, actually, question five is 75% of the paper. I knew then I'd probably failed yet another exam. I can still tell you the name of the girl who cleans the floor. Her name was Sandra, who came in every day after we left and cleaned the floor. People are the most important. We need to always be fair. God loves people, and we are the key to unlocking the destiny of people in our lives. Are you with me there? I honestly want to tell you that. Like, we need to get honestly in for the purpose of God. Finally, and I want to close with this today, we need to position ourselves in the right place for God to use us. Let's just position ourselves. If we want more, let's position ourselves. Get your wheels aligned if you need to. Some of you are driving a vehicle and your wheels are out of alignment. They're shaking like crazy. You're going to lose a wheel if you keep going. If you want to pick up pace, you're likely to lose a wheel the way you're going. I don't know. Is anybody in here, is it only me, who's ever had their trailer come off the back? There's quite a few of us. I'm with friends. That's so exciting. There's quite a few of us. It's one of the most scary things in your life. You're hurtling down the road. I remember one day hurtling down the road, and I was in the building business at the time, and my apprentice, it's always good to have somebody to blame for that sort of stuff. I'd said to my apprentice, hook the trailer up, and the pin was still through holding the thing up. And that's all he had done, must have rested it on. We're careering along the road. I had thousands of dollars worth of materials on this trailer. I had a brand new concrete mixer I'd brought, which we would tow that normally. It had its own wheels, but it can't tow two trailers in New Zealand. So I'd put the trailer on top of the trailer, and I had the wheels of that trailer hanging over the back of the other one. And so we're hurtling down the road with this massive load on this tandem trailer with a spare set of wheels hanging over the back of the concrete mixer, which was brand new and worth quite a bit of money. As we're going along, we're doing about 110 or whatever it might be, and all of a sudden I looked out my side window and here's my own trailer actually overtaking me. which is like, look at the apprentice, look at the trailer, the apprentice, the trailer, and then you're thinking, then you look ahead and there's a car coming straight to you, and you're thinking, this is going to be interesting, like there's a car coming, drawbars and things like this coming toward you. And I thought, man, what's going to happen here? And then luckily for the car coming the other way. It was very sad for me. The trailer tilted up. The back wheels must have touched just in the right way. And it did a direct right-hand turn, hurtled down a cliff, went over the farmer's fence and back-slammed onto the ground, smashing the concrete mixer to pieces and wrecking everything on the trailer. The thing I want to say there, the way we position ourselves with God is very important. We need to be connected to the God we love. We need to be connected to the Holy. A lot of people become disconnected and more interested in the task they're doing or the job they're doing, and we need to get connected to God and allow Him to be the one that pulls us along. We don't want to be, I don't want to be doing it my own strength is what I'm saying. I don't want to be self-led. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to know His voice and be led by the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to close with that this morning, but I want to challenge you right now. Let's be people who are led by God, who understand the voice of God and do what God has called us to do.
Excellent.
Did you learn anything?
Yeah,
bit of a sort of a teaching thing really this morning. But it will set you free. If you're connected to God, He'll challenge the stuff that's in you. Had a phone call a while ago from a mate, Lloyd's his name, businessman actually, runs a major business here in New Zealand. And he'd gone to Germany to do some business work there. And I get a phone call at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And it's a weird thing because at 11 o'clock, I could not sleep. When you can't sleep, it's for a reason, right? Get into the Word of God. And I started reading the Word of God, and I read, and funny thing, I read about how Joshua came and stood before the Lord, and it said the devil was there too. And I thought, that's a weird thing. It's a weird thing. How, what the heck's he doing there? What's the devil doing there as well? And then it said, God spoke to Joshua and said, remove the dirty band that's around his head and put a new headband on. Can't remember where the scripture is right now, but I was reading that and it became incredibly amazing to me reading this. Then I wondered why I got this phone call from Lloyd. He says, Don, I'm in Germany. They've just asked me to preach. And I've got no idea. I'm a businessman. Can you give me a sermon? And I said, well, yeah, I can. I said, funny enough, I've been awake all night and I've got this thing about Joshua. I don't know what it means. I don't know how it relates to you, but this is what's come to me. And he said, well, what is it? And I started telling him about it. Next thing, I hear this. Next thing, there's a crash. And like, hey, you still there? This is Germany calling. And I'm like, are you still there? And he's on the floor, apparently. And he starts sobbing and weeping. And he said, it's me, it's me, it's me. And I'm like, what do you mean it's me? And he said, God has just set me free from pornography. One phone call in the middle of the night by just getting into the Word of God, he'd been addicted to this thing. They'd asked him to preach. No wonder he didn't have a message. Ringing me up for a message. You shouldn't have to ring someone else or go to the internet or something to get something to say to somebody. You should have it in your spirit. And it should be out of the experiences of your life. Anyway, right there, God totally and radically set him free. Like, that's a miracle, you know, where God will explain it just over a phone call. And I believe that God can set you free of habits and shackles if we'll just get connected to God and say, God, I want to know you even in a greater way in my life. God, I can't live. You know, when I walk into the airport, well, not this airport, but when I walk, when you walked into, where'd you fly into? You flew into Christchurch? Christchurch Airport. When you would have walked through the international, it would have had a bin there with a sign above it says, dump it or declare it.
Yes.
Dump it or declare it. I want to close right now. If there's stuff in your life that would restrict God from doing what He wants to do in your life, because honestly, I reckon it's time to have a move of God in this nation.
Amen.
I reckon if there's attitudes, if there's inferiority, if there's habits that are going on, if there's junk you're looking at you shouldn't be looking at, let's dump it or declare it in Jesus' name and let's get on with what God wants us to do. This is a business meeting. We're a business group. We're the full gospel businessmen. Let's get down to business and do something great with our lives. I reckon, honestly, time's short. That's what I do believe personally. I reckon we've only got a little bit of time left before things start going to custard, and I reckon let's get up and get going and make a difference in our world today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you right now for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I thank you right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would move mightily in this meeting in the next few moments and set people free, unlock shackles, and God, cause us to be reconnected to the master of the universe. His name is Jesus Christ. And right now, God, I believe there are miracles all over this place. And in Jesus' name, Lord, cause cause us to be turned around. God, we want to be tasty again. We want to be influencers. We want our light to shine. We don't want it to be hidden, God. We've taken a licking, but we want to rise up and be full of joy again in Jesus' name. So, Lord, I pray, let this be the meeting upon which you move by your Spirit and unshackle us to be all we can be in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, I thank you right now. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you are challenged by the Word of God this morning that, Lord, I need to get right with you, I need to repent, I need to get right with God, quickly lift your hand right now if that's you I'm talking to. If there's anybody in here right now and that's you, I want to give you that opportunity because I don't want to miss out on that. God bless you. Yeah, is there anybody else? Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. Is there anybody? Yeah, God bless you. That's awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Young man right there. God bless you, mate. You're a legend. A legend. God bless you, sir. Yeah, God bless you. Who else is there right now? God, because God will speak to your heart. It's not about what I've said. It's actually about the Holy Spirit. I've just delivered a message. It's about what he'll challenge you right now. Anybody else, you need to get right with God right now. You need to get right with God. Feel challenged by the Word. Might be something I said. It could be the Holy Spirit just said, yeah, God bless you, honey. God bless you. Could be something the Holy Spirit just said to you. Sometimes, you know, I've been in meetings where the guy preached. I couldn't tell you what he preached about, but the Holy Spirit pierced my heart. I went to a conference in America. I'm meant to be a preacher. Sitting in the meeting. Next thing, he gave an altar call. And I was sitting with a bunch of guys I'd come with. And next thing, my hand went up. Because the Holy Spirit convicted me. I went out. One of the guys who was with me criticized me. He said, Don, you're already a preacher and you went out there to give your life to Christ. And I said, you bet I did, because I want to know God. I don't want to know that I'm self-righteous. I want to put on the righteousness of Christ. Amen. And I went out there and got God in my life again. He's now totally backslidden and away from God. And I reckon we can harden our heart against the things of the Spirit and not hear God. And I'm glad I did that day, because God cleaned up my life and got me going for God. If there's anybody else here right now and you're saying, man, this is serious business. I want to get on with what God's doing. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah, 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 yeah. Let's all stand up together. Thank you. Thank you. I've seen you here. Now, I believe this is a God thing. I believe that when I say there's more, there's a hang of a lot more that we can do, and there's a lot more we will do. But if we don't get clean hearts before the Lord, if we don't deal with stuff in our life, I believe we're restricted. I want to hear God with clarity. I want to know his voice, and I want to know that the devil's not going to say to me, when I go to pray for you, I don't want the devil whispering in my ear, what about you? What about what you did? I want to have the power of God with me. I want to walk in that. I want to know that. And it's not that hard, actually, because God's a gracious God and he's a forgiving God. And he doesn't hold any. And there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, okay? And that's a great thing about the kingdom. We judge people. We put labels on people. Gosh, get over yourself. If you're a label placer, get over yourself and stop judging people, please. Half the time nothing happens in our organisations is because people are scared to move, because we're all going to judge them. I just got to love people. Here's what I want to do. If you lifted your hand right then, or you know you should have come out the front here, it's a miracle going to happen in Jesus' name. And I reckon let's move quick, because I've got to catch an aeroplane. There we go. Holy Spirit. Right now. I truly believe miracles are going to happen. People lifted their hands this morning. You didn't just lift your hands for the fun of it. I believe miracles are going to happen. See, it's one thing to have sight. It's another thing to have spiritual insight. Some of us are like the guy who went to the gas station. Windscreen was covered in junk. And the attendant comes out and he fills the car up, and then we said, would you mind washing the windscreen, please? And the guy goes and gets the little brush thing in the water and squeegees your window and gets it nice and clean. And then the guy leans out the window and says, hey, can't you clean windscreens? Because mine's still dirty. And his wife used that elbow again and says, why don't you clean your glasses? Because the reality is, sometimes, if what we're looking through, what we've been involved in, will mess up what God wants us to see. And I reckon we can see a whole lot more. I reckon God just wants us to see a whole lot more. And that's why we're... And honestly, I'm with you guys. I've been where you are. I've been there. I've been... God sought me out. God, I want to be an instrument in your hand. God, I need that. And I'm going to pray with you today, and I want a miracle to happen here. It's amazing how the enemy will use our minds sometimes. He'll come and he'll attack our minds with all kinds of thought. I take authority right now over what the enemy would pull people down with, and I release you into a freedom in your spirit right now. Yeah, I'm not surprised people are still coming, because the Holy Spirit's moving here right now. Moving here right now. I tell you, it's serious stuff. I take this very, very seriously. Because I love people. And I love seeing God's hand move on people. Nobody should be just sitting in a crowd. We should all be the extension of the hands of Jesus. Nobody should be feeling condemnation or feeling like we're unworthy. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us. Somebody's eyes are going to be cleared this morning. Some of your minds are going to be set free. Somebody right now, you've been trapped in habits. You've been controlled by stuff. You've tried to get free of it. And today, I believe there's a miracle happening in the supernatural zone where God's going to cause you to hear his voice again. Hear his voice again. Know clearly the power of his love. I'm going to invite Rod and Lorna to come out. I'd love you guys to pray with. I'd like to also, if the ministry team's here, we're going to pray for people this morning. This is the last meeting I'll be doing with them. And I just really feel God wants to do something here. I think it's huge, actually. Can I ask this right now, across this auditorium? The Holy Spirit just said to me, there are people here who have lost their saltiness. You've lost your saltiness. And mostly it's because something else licked you. And it could have been like a painful situation. Could have been a failed business. It could have been a failed marriage. It could have been just, it could have been life. It could be your children just didn't go the way you wanted to go. It might be that you've been involved in a ministry in a chapter and it's just been hard work and you just feel ground down and you feel like you've got nothing left to give. And I believe God's going to restore saltiness today. And that happens by pouring in the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to ask you right now, if that's you, just jump out of here. You know, some of us, when we hit the deck, you know, people can kick me, beat me, put me down. It's like a ball. We got this ball at home and all the air's gone out of it. Found it over the fence. And when you throw it at the ground, it doesn't just flop, that's it. But my grandkids have got this other ball, and it's one of those magic balls. It's tight, it's full. And when you're full, you bounce. And I reckon if the Holy Spirit gets in us again, we bounce a lot better. Some of you don't bounce. You feel down. You feel like I can't get up again. But I reckon today, God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost, and you're going. It's happening already. This is like a ministry altar call right now, and it's happening. Honestly, don't wait for hands to be laid. Some of you go bald because you had so many hands laid on you. But honestly, sometimes just God's right here. He's just right here. The Holy Spirit. I can see him moving. I saw the Holy Spirit come and touch you before, and it had nothing to do with me. It's a touch of God, and God says, "Totally set free. Totally set free. Totally set." And you could be just standing on an altar like this and the Holy Spirit will do it. We're going to lay hands on you because I believe in the ministry gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I want to get you, every person here right now, take another step toward the front because you're stepping into something right there. Right there. There it goes. There it goes right now. Holy Spirit, breathe on these your beloved people in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, breathe by your power right now. We're going to minister to you right now and pray for you. And I want you just to receive the anointing. Just receive it. Holy Ghost. There it goes, Holy Ghost, right there. Brother, a miracle just happened, right? I saw when he laid hands on you, it was like God ripped off the old garment and God put on a brand new garment on you. And I don't know what happened there, but for you, that was a miracle today and you'll never be the same again. You're clothed in the garment of praise. In fact, can I say this to you? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Ooh, shakara barabo bayanda. Just lift your hands to the Lord right across this altar. Here it is right now. Spirit of God, move by your power right now. Move by your power right now. There it goes in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Some of you are getting filled up. You're going to come more salty than you ever realized. Oh, sister, right there. Power of God just set you free today. In fact, a miracle's happening in your body right now. Holy Ghost, right now. Thank you, Lord God. Yeah, thank you, God. 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 You already got your miracle last night. God says, just receive it right now in Jesus' name. Fire of God, Lord, I loose it on you right now. Fill him up with it in Jesus' name. A sister right here. God's already done. He says it's done. Yes, it's done. Yes, it's done. Yes, it's done. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Right now, power. Power. Power from on high. Holy Ghost power. Margaret, the Holy Ghost has totally set you free today. In Jesus' name. Kusha kabababayanda. In Jesus' name, Lord, empower. 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 Father, by the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost right now. Jesus, I thank you right now for this miracle. Thank you for it. Thank you, God. There's a healing restoration happening in your life right now. Right now. Fear just left you, and God says, this is your day. This is your day. You're on a journey, and God says, on this journey, I am meeting you in the middle of the road, and my arms are wide open, and God said, this is your day in this journey. Holy Ghost, right now, loose a miracle on him. Oh man. Mighty woman of God. That's what God calls you. Mighty woman of God. Mighty woman of God. Never be underestimated. God says, speak the word. Even as you declare it over your own life, God says you're going to see the might and the victory of God. It sometimes seems in the most mediocre of things, but people are important. God says, I've got you right in the right place at the right time in Jesus' name. Kutitiri ababababianda. There it is. Holy Ghost. More. Jesus, right now. Thank you for this, brother God. Thank you for the miracles he's received this week. That freedom's come in all your limbs, all your bones, and all your joints right now. More, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this miracle. Thank you, Lord God, for the mighty power. God's filling you up. You're going to bounce. You are already bouncing. Holy Ghost, give her more air in Jesus' name. You know what God says? You can't get there by yourself. You can't push yourself into it. You've got to totally, totally rely on God. And when I say leaning on the everlasting arms of God, that's like nothing of me, God, all of you. Just close your eyes right now. In fact, take one step back. I usually tell people to step forward, one step back. One step back. Because that there is saying, God, I'm going to totally be reliant on you right here. Not in my own strength, not in my own might. Here it is, here it is, here it is, here it is. Take it, take it, take it. God says, lean in my arms. Lean in my arms. Whew, thank you, God. Here comes the power of God on you right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Adrian, get ready. Get ready. God's opening doors for you. God's bringing people across your path already. There's people you will speak to in the next week. And God says, you're going to hear my voice so clearly. Now, Lord, loose an anointing all over a life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Man, I just see there's a call of God on you. There's a call of God on you. You didn't respond here today just because you felt like you should do. It's because God drew you out of your seat. He pulled you out. And I prophesy a leadership anointing over you right now in Jesus' name. Shaka baba baba yanda. Shuli la 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 yanda. Right now, God, fill him up to overflowing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's your miracle today. God says, set you free. Set free. Set free. Set free. Set free. Set free. Unlocked. The doors are unlocked. Unlocked in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I just see, oh God, I just see the blood of Jesus. Here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. Washing you. Washing you. Washing you. Setting you free. Setting you free. Never the same again, that brother. Jesus, now. Now, Holy Ghost, right now, right now, right now. Yeah, take it, brother, take it right now. You've had a miracle here today. Shagadabudi shamanamanamarianda. Shabadabadiyan. Eric, I tell you right now, there's going to come a whole, the heartbeat, your heartbeat, there's going to be a, I don't know, there's a shift in your heartbeat. I don't know, something's happened there. And your heart's going to beat for the hearts of people right now in Jesus' name. Shamalobadiyababiyanda. Lord, fill him with the Holy Ghost. Whew, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for this miracle that's happened this week. And man, you are never the same again. In fact, I look forward to hearing what's going to happen in your life, because God says, I have changed, turned, and now God says, get ready to be bouncy under the Holy Ghost. Yeah. It's a new day and a new life and a new season. And God's prophesied it over you, declared it over you. And now, Lord, oh God, right through her spirit. Whoo, thank you, Lord. There it goes. There's more, there's more, there's more, there's more, there's more, there's more, more, more. Things, even visions you've had that have been wrong. God, in fact, these eyes have seen stuff they should never see. And God says right now, and God says, I'm going to give you brand new eyes. Brand new eyes. Probably have a new color after this, actually. What color do you want? Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord God. Power of God on you right now. Jesus, here it comes. Holy Ghost, right now. Thank you, Lord God, for this mighty man and for the call of God and for the ministry you've given him. And Lord, even for the tasks he's doing, Lord God, I speak your anointing and your blessing over that in Jesus' name. Ooh, somebody give God a big praise right now. Come on, let's give him a... Let's take a praise break. Take a praise break. Holy Ghost, there are miracles happening here. People being set free. God, we thank you for it right now.